Hi, my name is Michael Frank, and this is the Prefab Pod presented by Prefab Review, where we interview leading people and companies in the prefab housing industry. Today, we're speaking with Raghav and Wayne Norbeck of Live Connected, a modular and tiny house provider out of New York. Herb is the CEO, and Wayne is a partner and the director of business and design strategy. Thanks for joining, guys.
Thank you for having us. Great to be here.
To start off, it would be great to hear a little bit about Live Connected and what you actually do.
Sure. I'll jump in. About 5 years ago or so, I spoke to Jordan Raghav, who's my son and COO of the company, and also a partner of Wayne in the architecture firm, and asked how we could bring architecture, design, and healthcare together. And based upon that, we sat down, had a lot of discussions, and I know Wayne and George have done some work in Namibia and Haiti with their architectural firm, so they have some healthcare experience. And then we figured out we put that together with a really nice, modular, well-designed system and take it to market. And we've been active now about 18 months with our products, and things are starting to pick up, and we're there to fill a gap and hopefully help a lot of people with great housing, quality housing.
That's awesome. So just to, because this is a podcast, and of course you can see their models at liveconnected.com. So according to your website, this is sort of manifest through basically, I don't know, what do you call them, lines or products or whatever. You have your Connexus and your VIA lines. Can you talk a little bit about them and how you decided on those as sort of your two initial models?
Sure. I'll just start and I'll let Wayne, who's really the expert with the details. We decided that there's an interest, especially near the factory, of folks looking for tiny homes. And of course, there's a big movement across the country. And we felt that that would be a great offering. And then there were people who were looking for larger homes, larger than 500 square feet or starting at 500 square feet. And the market brought us to that conclusion, both interest in disaster homes to replace the FEMA trailers, as well as people want homes that are a little bit larger, second homes or people that are downsizing, retirees. And then Wayne and Jordan and Joe, our third partner, they came up with a great concept known as the Click system, and I'll turn it over to Wayne to give you more details on the architectural significance of why and how we came up with that.
Yeah, so when we were designing this this prototype and thinking about sort of, you know, how disaster relief works in particular, the typically like FEMA trailers are sent out on a single truck bed, and they're shipped as space, so to speak. So it's about 8.5 feet wide, 8.5 feet tall. And they're brought out as a single unit, brought to the site. And there's been a lot of sort of building science issues with them, mold and so forth. But also just not, they haven't really been a very uplifting type of environment to live within. So our goal was to, we take the same type of shipping, that single truck for the initial prototype, and say, what size house can we get on it? And so we developed this Click system that Joe Wheeler, our other partner, had really pioneered through his work through different initiatives at Virginia Tech and the Solar Decathlon and so forth, thinking about modular as a set of cartridges or components that can be, instead of shipping the space, you're actually flat packing everything, and you're compressing all the space. And therefore, when you come out to the site, you're taking these sort of big chunks of walls and bathrooms and kitchens, and you're locking them together. But what you end up with is a house that's almost like double the size of what you would get if you just had a single unit on the truck. And that's the sort of secret sauce of what we're providing here.
Oh, is that, I may have totally missed that. That's interesting. So for your multi-module homes, I was under the impression that everything was built modularly, or are those actually built on site?
Yeah. So, well, it's the sort of components are all built in a factory.
Right.
So what we'll do is you'll have, like, for example, the whole bathroom is done as one component. Mm-hmm. The kind of kitchen wall that contains the cabinetry and the cooktop and so forth is all one unit. And then there's sort of two solid components at either end of the house. And then in between, there's roof panels that are kind of like 8 feet by 8 feet or so, wall panels like that, floor panels. And so what you do is you come out on site and you have all these larger scale components,
right,
that have been done in the factory. That's the kind of modular aspect. But it is a totally different approach to modular in that you're coming out and then you're assembling very quickly, actually, these other components to make the house. So when we did our very first prototype, which was a one bedroom, we put it together in about 4 hours on site. But the great thing is that the shipping is so much less and so much more efficient with this model, and it allows for a lot more sort of volume to reach the site at a better cost.
That makes sense. So I'm still trying to get my head around this. But when I look at we're specifically speaking to the, are we speaking to all your models or specifically just the, Kinexus model?
So that's the Kinexus model.
And right.
So what you end up there is with a sort of full, house with that model. We also have a second line called the Via.
Right.
And that's the tiny home that's on a chassis, right, and on wheels. That is done as a full-on modular unit.
So I may not have understood this. So this is actually really helpful. So the Kinexus models are actually, they're not on a trailer chassis. Those
Correct.
Go on some, do they go on a manufactured foundation?
Mm-hmm. So, and then there's, the foundation is sort of, we like to say we're foundation agnostic, where, you can, when we designed the house for the disaster relief model, we looked at doing helical piles that can literally screw into the ground. Mm-hmm. And then if you move the house later, you can unscrew them and take them out. But you can also use sonotubes or a flat mat slab, crawl space or so forth, even a basement that you can rest the house on top of.
I see. Okay. So got it. This is really helpful. So essentially what you're making, I was under the impression that essentially what the Kinexus was, and this is by the way, everyone, I'm learning with everybody. This is actually not two trailers connected. This is actually just basically elevated manufactured housing, right?
Yep.
Meaning in terms of from a volume perspective, this is actually like if I look at your angled two bedroom or your three bedroom, this in some ways is actually a lot like hopefully this doesn't come across as insulting, a lot like a double wide in terms of just like the volume of space and in terms of how HUD would look at it. But this is actually architecturally, it's just more distinct. Is that the right way of interpreting this?
Yeah. And it is a different model, as you're mentioning. We know the HUD requirements very well about the sort of separate volume, two separate volumes and so forth. But this is a different approach. And what we like about that is that it gives a ton of flexibility. If you can start out with a sort of tight house, but then actually over time you can literally add on to it with more components. So you can start off as a couple and, as you have children or so forth, you can expand the house. But it's also that when we're contacted by clients of different needs, we can really provide all kinds of different configurations that can work really well with their site. There's even though there's a very standard kit of parts that's necessary to kind of keep cost in line and have the factory be precise and efficient. We're actually able to put them together in a lot of different ways and really customize it for individuals.
Okay, interesting.
And we notice that's an important concept because even though we start off talking about the base models, everyone always asks the question, can you add this? Can you increase the space in the living area? And the answer is, we could expand it out. I'm typically up to 50 feet beyond that structurally and aesthetically, it doesn't look as great. And so we could put things side by side. And, one of the other key philosophies is that, young people want to be able to get into a home that's not overwhelming, both financially as well as size wise. So you can grow with the house, can grow with you as you need. So that's one of the key points.
Got it. So, So when you were talking about assembling something in 4 hours, does that include like MEP and stuff like that? Or are you just talking about the shell of the home?
Yeah, it actually does include the MEP. So we spent a lot of time trying to figure out how to integrate the mechanical.
Oh, by the way, sorry to interrupt. MEP stands for mechanical, electric, and basically it's just like the internal systems.
Yeah.
Sorry, continue.
Yeah. So in the base house, above the bathroom, we have a space where the mechanical, the sort of air handling units are located. And we're using a split system. So we have a condenser outside.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it's kind of a ductless system on the interior. Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. So it, yeah, all the, you know, when you come and you do the, and even in the electrical, the way that the electrical is done, what we do is a kind of leave out panel on each wall panel. And that allows you to have a junction box and connect the electrical. And then that gets covered up with the cladding and so forth. So it's, yeah, all the systems are included in the models that we have right now, which is really great because, you know, you're literally up and running. You have that kind of that you say a half day period of putting the house together. Then there's a little bit of sort of trim work that has to be done, but you're ready really fast. And that's been incredibly meaningful for, all of our clients, because instead of, you know, looking at a kind of 9 month, process or, you know, so forth, they can compress that down to almost nothing, which is really great.
Who does that work? Is that like, is that when you think about like sort of this concept of site work, is that something? So the most typical kit or modular arrangement we see, which you guys, this is not necessarily typical, is right. You have sort of the brand or the company that does the design work and they, you know, flat pack the kit of parts or the module. And then there's sort of a third party contractor who actually, right, does the last like kind of 20 to 60% of the house, depending on if it's, you know, modular or a kit. So is that your model, or are you all like, actually, because it's so short, doing this kind of site work?
It's the same model where there is a third party contractor on site that's mm-hmm. doing the assembly and also prepping the site beforehand, of course. But what happens is that percentage of time really shrinks that the contractor is necessary, and that's been like so key for us that there's very limited work once the house arrives for them to do, and then we also need to do a final inspection out there. We do our progress inspections all in the factory. We work with a company called NTA, National Testing Association, that inspects in the factory for the regulations across the country.
Right.
So they do all the progress inspections there, bring it out to site. Then there's sort of the final.
But you still have a local, this isn't like a state modular thing, right? Or a state manufactured housing thing. This is right where you're getting approved in the factory, right? Sounds like you still need to be approved on site on this stuff because
just for a final inspection that everything is done. But we do have the kind of the state approvals that are happening within the factory before it's shipped out.
And then that's interesting. Do you need a crane to put your units together, or are these going without a crane?
A crane is great, but it can make it very efficient. But we're also able to use like a telehandler. We can put them together with that. So there's definitely some flexibility. You know, if you're doing like a larger house or you're doing multiple houses, then a crane can be more efficient. But crane is not necessary. We did not use a crane to do our prototypes. So.
Got it. Cool. And then when I look at by the way, the biggest thing that I think that drives like half of the companies in the industry nuts that we do, but is also really helpful, is we try to actually find out like what stuff costs, because this industry, it's actually really hard, right? Because people understandably, like manufacturers are like, well, I can tell you what my modules cost, or I can tell you what my kit costs, but I can't tell you exactly like what, you know, every site's different, what a site costs. Cost is, and I get that. But so when I like, I'm looking at your 3-bedroom on your website right now, and it says 3 bedrooms, 2 baths plus utility, 1,205 square feet, starting at $448.
Mm-hmm.
what is that for? Does that 448 encompass site work as well, or does that just encompass the kit? Does it include transport? Does it include?
That's the house price itself. So then what we do is we determine, you know, where the site is located, if you're on the East Coast, West Coast, or so forth. And then we get a shipping quote for that. And then we also help the clients sort of team up with the local contractor that we were talking about to get the site costs figured out, because they can, it can vary so widely depending on the site configuration that, you know, we do give guidance on, we provide estimates to, to our clients on what we've seen in the past and kind of ranges. But of course that all has to be sort of clearly identified.
If it's okay, maybe we can work through one, right? So your factory is in Pennsylvania, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so one area fairly close to Pennsylvania that we've done quite a lot of work in is kind of upstate New York, sort of Hudson Valley, you know, Woodstock, Saugerties, that area, which is, I don't think, too far from that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
So but it's what I would call like a quite expensive but not most expensive market, you know what I mean? Like, it's not as expensive as the San Francisco Bay Area, and it's probably not quite as expensive as the Hamptons or LA, but it's more expensive than most other areas, just from a cost of labor standpoint. So if we assume that just the house itself is 448, and we assume that we're moving it, you know, to Saugerties or something or Woodstock or whatever on a flat lot that we're lucky enough to have like utilities stubbed pretty close to the property, et cetera. What would you be looking at kind of for the rest of the costs?
It can be, it depends on topography and so forth, but
yeah.
You know,
let's assume that this is basically flat, as close to urban infill as in that area as you can. So a fairly unchallenging site in an expensive market.
Right. So, you know, it can be anywhere from, you know, I'd say like 30 to 60 grand, somewhere in that zone is what we typically see for a fairly standard site.
And that includes transport and all that stuff?
Well, transport would be on top of that a little bit. So it's, you know, it's probably like another 10 grand or so to get it up there.
Just to give you an idea, let's say we go from Lancaster to New York and above, it'd be a little over $2,000 for every 500 square foot cartridge flat pack.
Truck. Okay.
Yeah. And we're using non-wide load, which obviously decreases the cost a bit too.
Right. Yeah. You mentioned that they're eights versus whatever, a 14s, which a lot of companies use. Got it. Okay. So that's actually that's a much better ratio than we see with lots of other companies. If in fact, like 80 or 90% of the costs are, a lot of the companies we see, it ends up being closer to like 60, 40, 50, 50. So that's pretty impressive. Cool. So that's how I guess these work. And how many homes have you built to date?
We've built right now, probably more of internal issues. We've just been producing the homes for about 18 months, probably close to 50, the tiny homes. And we have orders we're delivering early part of 2024 for about maybe a half a dozen or so. And we've got a couple in the pipeline that we're hoping it'll come to fruition within the next month or so.
Then these are the tiny homes or the have you delivered any of the Kinexus as well, or is it all the tiny homes?
Tiny homes to this point. And like I said, we have contracts already signed and sealed and delivered. And right now, beginning quarter one, 2024, we'll actually be manufacturing the homes. We just got the permits approved for one of the homes in Vermont just this past week.
Interesting. And then you were saying, just to be clear, these end up being considered by the state just like normal site-built homes. They're considered manufactured homes. They're considered modular homes. How, I'm talking about the non-tiny house ones.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're typically considered modular homes. So yeah, that's the designation we've seen. But, you know, it can depend on individual sort of jurisdictions.
The big part of the reason that we care about this is, I don't, maybe you can talk a little bit about To the extent that like you have orders on these bigger homes, you've dealt with this. One of the things that can be a little challenging about the sort of modular side of this business for customers is the financing, meaning, right, because they're more of the costs are incurred in the factory, there's a smaller subset of banks that lend on sort of the modular draw process. But I don't know, do you have specific lenders you worked with, or how has that worked so far?
Yeah, we do. We have a very strong partnership with Rocket Mortgage. Mm-hmm. And they'll do, as long as you have the land, it's not a problem. If you do need a construction loan, we're working with U.S. Bank. Those are the two that we've been working with most closely at this point. But we're open to talking to anyone at this point.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, we've done... I actually didn't realize Rocket did new construction stuff, but yeah, US Bank we've seen quite frequently in this market. Do you think it'd be great to hear a little bit, since you're sort of a newer company? And I watched I watched an Instagram story or some type of video about this from your son Herb about sort of the factory relationship and how you went about creating that.
Oh yeah, yeah. Atomic Design, they also have a subsidiary of them called Atomic Homes, which we work with and very close. Jordan actually, after architecture school, actually worked with them, did set designs in New York City. And, you know, they come, you know, in the Pennsylvania Dutch area where craftsmanship and carpentry are just extremely well done, the quality and the experience of these folks. And it was during COVID and there were no concerts going on. And so Jordan reached out to Daniel, who's the CEO of the company, and we started talking and came up with some ideas, and they've just been extremely amazing partners to the point now where we recently moved this past winter, or this past year, moved into a over 100,000 square foot factory where we're producing our products. And they're used to building quality products that they could put up quickly and take down quickly and get on to the next concert. So with a lot of their expertise, we've developed an extremely nice product.
Got it. So for the tiny homes, it'd be great to hear a little bit about sort of the permitting process for that. What are the uses for the tiny homes that you typically see? Are people just parking them on their land somewhere rural? And not using permits, are they getting permitting? Are they using them in sort of RV parks? How's this working?
Yeah, I think it's more the latter, where, you know, we're technically classified as a park model RV. So people, you know, when we do sort of site analysis for them, we make sure from a zoning perspective that it's permitted. A lot of times people, can also use them as sort of an accessory dwelling on their own home, on their own land, or, you know, we'll team up with folks who are looking at tiny home communities. Like our sales agent actually owns some tiny home communities, and that's been a really great generator of business for us as we got kicked off here. But yeah, we look to because you also have to sort of tie them into the utilities and so forth. So you got to make sure that's done above board.
Got it. So typically these have like normal RV hookups?
Yep. Yeah. So you have like a waistline and water line and electrical hookup at, you know, kind of each site that you're looking at.
Got it. And that of course will be different for your Kinexus models, right?
Yeah. Well, same thing. Yeah. I mean, you have to, that it's different in that those are more like sort of single family, right, situations that you're providing the utilities to. So, but yeah, I mean, actually it's not that much different. It's the same exact, utilities that we need.
Got it. Cool. Let's see. What other questions we have? Okay. Oh, and then in terms of customizations, one of the questions we get, that we've gotten mixed answers to is, what's the ability for your homes to handle snow loads?
The houses are designed, you know, exactly like a regular house. So we, for the Kinexus line, we're following all the building applicable building codes that you have all over the country. So the structural loads are meeting all of those requirements. On the tiny home side, it's really quite innovative in that, you know, a lot of the tiny home industry are sort of almost like glorified shed builders that have been putting these together. And when you tour tiny home communities, you will see all kinds of different levels of construction, and some of which you're wondering how long it will really last. What Atomic has done is they've worked with structural engineers to kind of pioneer a different framing method, because the vias are not tied to sort of residential building code. They're open to other types of framing techniques. And what they've done is developed a whole system using like 1-inch thick structural plywood, which they can have cut on a CNC machine very precisely. And then it's assembled to make the framing of the vias. And that's all been sort of load tested above and beyond what's required for residential as well. And then what's great about it is there, you know, it's a very rigid and sort of stiff framing technique. And these houses really last, as opposed to what you're typically seeing in the tiny home market.
Got it. That's helpful. Let's see. And then it sounds like how have most customers found you to date? Is it mostly, I see you've gotten a bit of media. Is it mostly earned media or, yeah, how have you got connected to your early customers?
Combination. Website, we tried to make the website appealing so that they understand it's a one-stop shop if you need it. And we take them through, they just reach out, we reach back to them. And then, of course, the social media where everyone is, and we've got quite a few leads from there as well.
Great. Cool. So this has been really wonderful learning a bit about your company. Anytime we have experts on our podcast, we try to, I mentioned to you how many, before we got on, how many questions we get from our audience. So if it's cool, can I give you both a few questions via our fire round so we can?
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. We're awesome. Here for that.
Perfect. Okay. I guess one of the questions we get a lot, is about the resale value of tiny homes. Do you think you, to the extent that you know, do you think you can talk about, just if someone buys them, are we looking at a car where it's like, you know, 20% of the value goes off the lot or goes out when it gets off the lot? Or is there sort of another parable, like, you know, closer to a house?
Yeah, what we've been told from our sales agent is that the houses are holding their value. So it's not like a car. Like, people can actually build equity and be able to sell them at a very similar or better value than when they're purchasing them. So that's been really refreshing, because it's become something where we feel like we're offering a solution, you know, for the housing crisis for people that need to be in that certain price range. That's a really good alternative.
Got it. Okay. Question number two is, someone asked, this is specifically about you. Can you talk a little bit more about the sort of health innovations you have as options for your homes?
Absolutely. One of the background for my professional career has been involved in telehealth and digital health. Been involved in that the turn of the century, and had a company that was one of the first to market providing healthcare through the vehicle of telemedicine. And one of the things I think is important for us is not aging in place. We don't want to be warehoused into a nursing facility. So we feel with the current direction in which digital health is going, we could keep people in their homes. Or if someone happens to be admitted to the hospital for a major surgical procedure, we could get them out of the hospital quicker to home, where we could do remote patient monitoring. And this extends beyond the seniors. For example, if you have a child, when do they get sick? It's usually Sunday at 10 o'clock at night. Do you really want to take them to an ER? No, they don't. They're not that sick. You want to sit in an urgent care? No, you can stay at home and have a telemedicine consult, and there are digital health tools that we can help you navigate to PIT Select and do a full examination where a virtual pediatrician can take a look in the ears and make a diagnosis of an ear infection. Or if you're in your 30s or 40s and you work all day long and you ignore your sinus infection, you can't get to a facility such as an urgent care or a doctor's office. We could do the same thing in the comfort, the privacy of your own home. So the whole idea is, you know, as you get older, if you fall, we could build in using LIDAR technology developed in Israel, where people, if they fall to the floor within a minute and a half, a text message goes out to the caregiver, be it the family member or physician, and they could investigate why that your loved one is on the floor. And there are other devices. So these are all incorporated as part of an add-on package, just like solar or off the grid. And we think it's important because I think more and more people will agree that you could get good health care at home. Now, obviously, it's an emergency or urgency, you go to the hospital, but we feel that a lot of those trips are unnecessary, and why can't we do that at home?
Okay, that makes sense. And then another question we got was, how should I evaluate tiny house quality? So you spoke a little bit to Wayne to sort of the varying quality of, I'm sure when you go to those tiny home communities, sort of, right?
Yeah.
It goes from pretty DIY to pretty professional. Mm-hmm. If I'm someone who just wants a nice, well-built tiny home, what are the specific things potential customers should be looking for?
Well, I would recommend learning about the sort of company that the home is coming from, or the contractor that put the home together, as much as possible. We take it incredibly seriously, you know, how detailed relating all of our work back to building science, energy performance, and so forth. But there's a lot of people who cut corners in the especially in tiny homes, the building code is not quite there yet. Although, as we understand it, the codes are being developed now that will have more of an impact on these houses. So I think it's, you really want to do due diligence. You want to go with a reputable company that's providing them. And, you know, ask them how the wall assemblies are put together, if they're meeting building code, what kind of loads that the houses can withstand. And if there's examples, people that you can reach out to who have been in them for a long period of time, I would definitely recommend that as well.
Got it. Well, thank you guys so much for taking the time to chat with me. The question that we ask everyone, sort of as a final question, it would be great to hear the answer from each of you, is what are you most excited about for your company or for the industry in the near future?
For me, it's part of a legacy, lifelong dream to be able to provide homes that take care of you. Normally, it's the other way around. You take care of the home. And the architectural design that Jordan, Wayne, and Joe have done really is an excellent example of how we could take that and then merge it into the needs of healthcare and quality of life. And so that's really exciting. I could see that in the future, and as people begin to understand what we have to offer and how they could benefit from that, again, the house will take care of them.
And I would like to mention that one of the really exciting initiatives that we have right now is that, you know, we learned through this process that the rules across the country are so different, and it became challenging for us as a company to deal with that, because it's difficult to order materials in bulk, for example, or build a kind of stock of houses or something in order to keep the prices down. So what we're targeting now is looking at sort of HUD approved houses and the regulations around those. And we've actually been working with congressional leaders, even like as we speak, to try to change those rules and open that up so that it's possible that more different types of housing, not just the kind of limitations of what we have right now for HUD, open that up so that we can have more of a national standard on housing. And we estimate that could have, you know, anywhere from like a 15% to 30% impact on cost. And we just really love that we could make an impact like that and improve affordability in this country.
That's terrific. I'm really excited to see the rollout of your sort of multi-module homes and see how this all develops. We're big fans of anyone doing anything innovative here. Anyway, thanks again,
Herman. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great talking to you. Again, for those who want more information about Live Connected, visit live-connected.com. And as always, you can visit us at prefabreview.com. Thanks again.